Hi, I'm Sam Cowan. I'm the Senior Manager for Coaching and Referee Education at USA Fencing. Thanks for joining us for this talk. Dr. Karen Kogan is a United States Olympic Committee sports psychologist who works with our national fencing team, and she gave this talk in December of 2017 at the Portland NAC, where she was talking to a group of parents about how they can be kind of better sport parents for their kids. So hopefully you'll enjoy this. There was a couple of times in here where she references a slide or a video. The links to those slides or videos should be included in the show notes for this page. So thanks, and here's Dr. Karen Kogan.
I went to UCLA many, many years ago and did gymnastics there. That was my sport. So when I came to fencing, I really knew very little about fencing, but I've learned over the years. I've learned enough to be dangerous, I guess, and certainly have learned about the sport psychology of fencing. So I also went to Ohio State for my doctoral degree, and then I've been a licensed psychologist now and a certified mental performance consultant for 25 years, something like that. I've stopped counting. I am a soccer parent. These are my two children. My daughter is up above. She just graduated from college and played soccer there all 4 years. And then my son below, you can probably see the brace on his right knee there, tore his ACL his senior year in high school. And so we got him through that season, had the surgery, and now he plays just for fun. So I know soccer parents can be the worst. Some of you might think fencing parents can be the worst. And to some degree, I feel like I may be preaching to the choir here, because you're here, you know, you're motivated to hear about this. Sometimes it's the ones who aren't here who I really should be talking to. But just my involvement in the Olympics now, I've been to three winter games and three summer games as a sports psychologist in some fashion, either with one team, with several teams, or one time I went as the family sports psychologist when we started to realize that families had a huge impact on their athletes and how they performed, and that the families actually need some support too to manage their stress. So I went as a family psychologist to one of the games. And I work with individuals, I work with teams, coaches, staff, and parents. Parents come to me as well for questions and concerns. And just in general, so you understand what I do, I see myself as a mental skills coach. And you know, the athletes have their coaches to train them for the physical side. I help to train sort of from here up, and we make sure that the head is in the right place. And there doesn't really need to be a problem to come in and see me. It's more that we're trying to give athletes that edge, because you know, I'm sure you've seen Olympic competition and races get won and lost by fractions of a second, or here in fencing, you know, it's one touch and it's at that intense overtime moment, you know. So it's medals are won by these small margins, and I hope that the mental training, the mental skills, maybe that can give athletes the edge. But it's not just about the mental skills. Athletes are whole people, and so a lot of times other life stresses get in the way. I'm there to help them with those sorts of things too. From my psychological training, it also, you know, we look at the whole picture. We look at stresses outside of fencing. It could be school, it could be family, it could be relationships. Any of that has an impact on performance. And in my world, it's really everything's about performance. Everything can impact performance. So you want to make sure that everything's going right, we've got a good balance, and that all then leads to a good performance. Okay, so as a gymnast, I can talk about balance, and that's really what it's all about in terms of being a parent. So most parents are doing a lot of things right, and this talk is not about everything that parents do wrong. This is really about how to find that balance. You know, how can you be really helpful and supportive to your athlete and at the same time step back when you need to? How do you find that good balance? So you want to keep going with all of the really good positive things, and then find some sort of way to balance your involvement. You know, you don't want to be too involved, but you can't stand back and do nothing. So that's really sort of a difficult balance for a lot of families to achieve. So, but let's back up just a little bit, and you know, you think about, why do kids play sports? So these are the top reasons to have fun. That is always the top reason kids give us when you look at the literature. They want to have fun. That's why they start. They want to improve their existing skills. They want to learn. They want to learn how to be good at their sport and be with friends, make new ones. It's the camaraderie. It's the social interaction. And they like the excitement of competition, as long as it's not too pressureful. if they succeed or win, that's a good thing. And then, of course, exercise and becoming fit. So those are the top reasons that, kids tell us for being involved in sports. Now, why they drop out of sports? Lots of stuff. Conflict of interest as they get older. Maybe there are many things that they can participate in, and they decide maybe sport is not at the top of their list anymore. Then we get to things like not having enough playing time if you're talking about team sports. Again, soccer, I know the most about that one probably, and you know, kids get chosen to play when they're good, and sometimes they sit on the bench, and that's frustrating. They don't like that. Lack of success or lack of skill improvement, and when they stop having fun, that's when they want to drop out. Injuries too, probably for obvious reasons. And then if there's too much emphasis on winning, if the competition becomes too stressful, if there's too much criticism from coaches and even from parents, if there's too much pressure or negativity. So all these reasons are reasons why kids drop out. And in my field, what we want to do is to help kids stay involved. Not if they don't want to, if they have other interests, but if the reason that they're not wanting to be in sports is because it's become stressful or they feel that they're being criticized or pressured, that's the stuff that we want to try to change and fix. So parents have some responsibilities. Balance, encouragement without pressuring. And this is difficult. I can't give you the exact answer on that, you know, and we do our best and we try, and sometimes we get a little bit off on the balance, but finding that balance is important. And then, you know, supporting your child in achieving his or her goals. So his or her goals may not be the same thing as the parent's goals. And that's going to be really important to tease out and define. Because if your child is in the sport because they want to be around their friends and socialize, and you're hoping that they're going to get a college scholarship or go to nationals or something, those are really two different kinds of goals. So you want to know what the child's goals are. And you want to help the child set realistic and challenging goals. So that's the best kind of goal. It has to be something that's achievable, but at the same time that pushes them to improve their skills. So it's got to be challenging. You know, too easy and it's boring, but too hard and people want to give up. So you want to have that, again, find that balance. And then set limits on participation. Sport can't be the entirety of a child's life growing up. So as parents, there's got to be some limitation. And I have a video clip coming up. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it because I'm not sure the streaming capabilities that we have here, but Summer Sanders is a swimmer, and she talks about, you know, needing to have more in your life than just sport. And, you know, so as an Olympic swimmer is telling us we have to have balance, that probably tells us something. And making sure that the coach is qualified. So that's a really important job that a parent has. And, you know, we've heard a lot in the news about coaches who are abusive and aren't coaching in the most appropriate way. So parents have a role in trying to make sure that their children are protected. Okay, parent responsibilities. We want to keep winning in perspective. And it's really hard in our culture as it is. Winning is very important. But if it becomes the main focus of what's happening, this is where I see athletes and fencers start to choke. If the emphasis is on, I have to win because I have to qualify for, you know, the next round or whatever. When you start saying have to win, that's all you're thinking about, and you're not thinking about the skills and things that go into performing well. And that's where I see athletes start to choke. So, got to keep winning in perspective. It's not all about winning. For the most part, it's about the process of the sport and getting good at that. And there are valuable lessons in sport. So as a parent, you can help your child see that. Hard work, persistence, you know, loyalty to a team or to teammates or to a coach. All those things are really important values that sports can teach. And parents can have a role in encouraging their kids to learn that. So you help your child meet their responsibilities. Good time to start that, you know, to the training, to the team, to the coach, making sure that they are taking whatever is developmentally appropriate, that they're taking some of their own responsibility for things. And sometimes parents have a hard time maybe turning the child over to the coach. So, you know, there's got to be a willingness to do that and to let go a little bit. Parents also can help the coach by giving pertinent information. If the child has been ill, has an injury, something like that, you know, these are things that the coach needs to know in terms of structuring the training. So I have a picture for you, and I want to know what your impressions are of it. I'm going to just, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to say that that guy's a parent, okay? Just for, you know, purposes of the presentation. So what do you see there?
Celebration.
Mm-hmm. Right. He looks pretty excited, and everyone around looks pretty happy too. Something good just happened, right? Is there anything potentially concerning about it?
Some of the team members are watching him, like he's kind of taking over the scene a little bit.
True. Yeah, he's front and center. Yeah. Sometimes people look at these pictures and think, oh my God, he's too over-involved. You know, I don't know. I see that as somebody who is celebrating with the team. The team looks happy. You know, they're all kind of looking at him almost like in admiration, you know, that he's excited about this. You know, I see that as generally a good thing. But depending on the context, that can be too much sometimes. So the context is very important. You kind of have to know what's going on. You have to know the people you're involved with. You have to know the person who's getting up there and cheering. So context is very important. But, you know, we want people to be excited about their kids' performances and activities. Okay, so parents have a really important job as a role model. And, you know, what we know is that children learn most from observing. If you say one thing and do another, they're going to pay more attention to what you do. It's the action that really has the impact. So that's what's powerful. And so you as a parent want to make sure that your words and your actions are consistent, if assuming that's the message that you want to send. But if those are in conflict, it's probably going to be the action. So if you are telling your kids, hey, you got to respect the officials, you got to respect your coaches, you know, you got to respect your teammates, and then you as a parent are getting in the referee's face and going, what did you do that for? That's not right. You know, that doesn't really model good respect. So, you know, what's really hard sometimes for parents, I think, is to contain their own emotion when they see something that's not going right. But as parents, we hope we have a little more ability to do that. You know, as adults with more experience, we want to be able to learn how to manage those emotions and present a good role model to our kids when they see that. So other things that being a good role model means, one is encouraging all players at practice and at competition or meets or tournaments, and showing interest and enthusiasm and support for your child as well, of course. Controlling your emotions in frustrating situations, the example that I just gave. Hopefully, you know, kids don't always have control over their emotions, but that's, as a parent, that's something that we want to try to teach them. And abiding by the referees or officials' decisions and helping children learn how to handle those decisions too. When you see those going wrong and it's your kid out there, it's pretty hard to say, that's just how it is. And I think, you know, you can certainly empathize with your child when they're frustrated afterwards and say, oh my gosh, I should have had that touch, or I should have had that touch, and that's what lost me the bout. But at the same time, I hear this from every athlete. Every athlete tells me, oh, the refs are horrible. The ref stole touches from me. You're laughing. Yeah, I hear it from every athlete. So I have to think that there is some consistency among the officials, that they don't always do a great job. And again, they're human. You know, sometimes they can't see what's going on, even with the video replay. When athletes come to me, I tell them that, you know, I hear that from everybody. I know it goes on. It's just, it's part of this sport, and there hasn't been a better way that we've figured out to make this more fair yet. So this is what we're dealing with, and so how are we going to work with it? You know, you can't take away that sometimes things don't go right, and sometimes you think it's unfair, but how are you going to work with that and learn from that? And then how are you going to be that much better than your opponent that it's not a question? You know, it doesn't get down to 14-14, you know? So, I see some nodding, yes. So that's the kind of stuff that we talk about in terms of handling when it doesn't seem fair. But sometimes, you know, kids just want to hear, you're right, it's not fair. And sometimes that's all you can say, and that's all you need to say. Yeah, it's not fair. It sucks. It's just horrible. And then finally, congratulating the winners, whether it's your child or somebody else's. You know, everyone who performs well deserves that congratulations. So I have here two contrasting pictures. I think that's a hockey family over there, and he's banging on the wall, and the mom is like this, and then I have what looks like, you know, the dancing moms, like, you know, go team or something. So, I mean, you got to have fun with it somehow. Okay. Other ideas on being a role model, you want to look for the positive learning situations in training and in tournaments. Sometimes that's hard when things just didn't go right, but I think that part of what we have to do as parents is to help our kids learn to deal with failure. And it really hurts and it's painful in the moment, but that's where some of the biggest lessons come from, is looking at failure, evaluating what can be done differently. I think the biggest mistake that I see happen, even at the Olympic level with athletes, is they have a bad tournament, they have a bad bout, and they just want to forget about it. I just don't want to think about that, I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, in my mind, if you can't stand back and kind of intellectually evaluate what happened and what went wrong, you don't learn from that, and you're going to make the same mistakes again. So it's a slippery slope, but as parents, sometimes you can encourage your kids to say, look, I know it's not the most pleasant thing, but let's watch that bout on video. And I find that fencers do, well, all athletes do not want to do that. They don't want to watch the bad ones, but that's where you learn. So even if you can only watch a part of it, you know, and you learn something from it, failing and learning from that, you know, we talk in the business world, we talk about failing fast. So if you're going to fail, make sure you do it, get it done, figure it out, and go on. Don't just sit around in that murkiness of failure and hold on to that. You know, you want to get past it and get beyond it. So looking for the positive in these types of situations is something that you can do as a parent. Keeping a positive attitude toward the fencing environment, even when sometimes things aren't perfect. That's important too. And then staying in the appropriate place in the competition area. You know, with fencing, it seems like you can get almost anywhere. So I think then it becomes your decision as a parent to know how close is too close and to be appropriate about that. Other events, other sports that I work with, people can't get down onto the actual competition floor. So the separation is pretty clear. But here, you know, parents just have to make good decisions about that. And I've had some athletes tell me, I just don't want my parent sitting right there. And so then we have to have that conversation about, could the parent move a little further away perhaps, and, you know, is not heard by the athlete quite as much. Okay, and other things parents can do, you know, you kind of want to stay out of the coaching realm, but helping with the coaches with the club or the administration of the club, that's, you know, if there are things that need to be done there, that's an important role. And then thanking and appreciating coaches, referees, and administrators. I don't think that the officials and referees really hear a lot in the appreciation area. You know, it's more that people don't like something that they've done. But, you know, as we know, they're human too, and sometimes that's an important thing to recognize. So behaviors to avoid, and again, I'm probably preaching to the choir on this, so hopefully none of you are doing these things, but you see the kid putting duct tape over the father's mouth. That is a bad sign, in case you don't know. You know, you don't want to be advising the coaches on how to do their jobs. Probably that's goes without saying. And it's important, unless you are actually the coach of your child, that you're not coaching your child during tournaments. We want to leave that to the coaches. I know when in the beginning of one of the soccer seasons for my son, the coach pulled all the parents aside and said, okay, just so you all know, I'm the coach, you're the parents, you are not to coach, you can only say, good job, awesome, great effort, that's all you can do. And I think that lasted about a half a game. And the parents really just couldn't contain themselves. But we started policing each other. Oh, don't say that, don't say that, you know. Oh, and finally one of the moms brought suckers and handed them out to, it was mostly the dads, I have to say, handed them out to the dads, and then the dads had to go stand on the far corner of the field and you know, keep the sucker in their mouth. And so that did kind of help. No insulting comments to the competitors, other parents, referees, or coaches. Again, it goes without saying, but I find that people, even though they know this, they will sometimes do it in the heat of that moment. So managing those emotions again. And then the last one there, I always feel funny saying this, but I've seen it happen. Don't drink alcohol at practice or tournaments, and don't come to any events having drunk too much. Okay, so helping your child enjoy competition. And this is really, because we know that fun is the primary reason that kids start playing sports, this as a parent is one of your important roles. So I had mentioned the idea of goals and focusing on performance. And we talk a lot in sports psychology about performance versus outcome goals. So the outcome goal is the win. You know, we got to win. And, you know, I'm in the Olympic movement, and that is what we talk about. It's all about medals and winning. We are very outcome-oriented, which flies in the face of what I do as a sports psychologist. So I really have to, you know, I have to kind of put my blinders on to listening to that stuff and then help the athletes focus more on this idea of performance goals, which has to do more with, are they doing the things that they intend to do as a fencer? Are they doing the things that they practice in training and in their lessons? Like, are they able to translate that into competition? So we're not looking at the numbers and the rankings, even though they are, we know they are, but you know, in a particular bout, I'm saying one touch at a time, you know, focus on what you need to do to get the next touch, the next one, and we will get to the end. And if you do everything along the way that you need to for each touch, you're going to come out on top. The winning part takes care of itself, but we don't want to overemphasize that. So these goals, there's a lot of things that are not in your control as an athlete, and particularly as a fencer. But the idea of setting a performance-related goal, that is more in the athlete's control. And those are the things that are going to help athletes improve. So, you know, when I'm talking to athletes, I don't know as much technically about the sport. I have to listen to them about that and what they're trying to do technically. But as a sports psychologist, I can help them set their mental training goals. So the example I have up here, you know, you want to set a specific goal. So instead of just, I'm going to be mentally tough in this tournament, it's more like, I will take a deep breath before I do each drill or before each touch. So some kind of centering breath or a calming cue word or something like that. But there's something that their goal is to do that each time to kind of get into that habit. And then, you know, at the end, especially if I didn't see how someone did or if I didn't see how one of my kids did in their soccer game, I would never say, did you win? I tried never to ask that. I always tried to say, well, how did it go? How did the game go? Or how'd the bout go? Or, you know, how did you do out there? How'd you feel out there? Or, you know, how were you at working on the things you've been working on in training? How did that come out in the bout for you? So I try to stay away from those kinds of, and they'll usually tell you. I mean, you can find out if they won or lost if you really need to know that. And sometimes they'll just tell you because that is on their mind. But I'm more interested in the process of what happened.
And what happens when all you get is good?
Yeah. I've been there. I've gotten that. Well, then I ask more specific questions. Well, how was the what? And you, it helps if you know something about the context or maybe something that they were working on. So then you have a teenager, right? Yes. Uh-huh. So then you have to ask some more specific things. But, you know, sometimes they just don't want to talk about it. And so if I've asked a few questions and I've gotten the one word answer, either I say, oh, okay, do you not want to talk about it right now? You know, I don't want to keep prying if you don't want to talk about it. And then they'll either say, yeah, no, I don't want to talk about it. Or they say, well, no, it's fine. I just don't have that much to say. Or, you know, so I'll ask about their one word answers, or I'll just cut it off and say, okay, well, you know, then that's enough of that for today, and let's talk about something else. Because I think it is dangerous to only talk about the sport, you know, on the car ride home or whatever. There's got to be other things you can talk about too, and sometimes they just want to talk about anything else. So, okay. As a parent, help your child develop an appropriate winning perspective. And in my mind, that's athlete first and winning second. Again, hard to get away from in our culture sometimes, but that to me is the most important thing. And any decision that is made should be made based upon what is best for the athlete and best for that particular child. You want to balance fun with that emphasis on winning, because, you know, winning is a reason why kids stay in sports. That is fun. Winning is fun too. But you can't win all the time, especially in fencing. You know, in the combat sports, I'm always amazed at how many people go home disappointed, even though they actually did pretty well, because there's only that one person who actually wins. In a team sport, at least you have a whole team who wins, but it's really hard sometimes in these combat sports with only that one person. Everyone else has lost at some point along the way. And then emphasize the personal performance goals, and the winning will take care of itself. Next, build your child's self-esteem. So this is, again, one of those really important roles of a parent, and especially for girls, because around the adolescent years for girls, their self-esteem tends to plummet. And sports is one way that girls maintain self-esteem, but if things aren't going well there, then that can really do a number on them that way. So, one of the most important things is to let the child know that he or she is valuable outside of his or her performance in the sport. You know, it's not just about winning, it's not just about being a good athlete. There are many more facets to each of us as human beings, and we want to recognize those things. We want to show unconditional love regardless of the outcome of the bout or the tournament, and then emphasize value as a person, not just an athlete. And I think this is relevant to, again, I'll go back to teenage girls, because that's also when we see a lot of eating disorders start to develop and body image issues, and we want everybody to know that they're important outside of sport, outside of physical appearance and all of that stuff. So it's real important to build self-esteem based on other factors. Okay, so here's my first video that I'm going to try. I don't know if I can get this to work. Yeah, I think.
I was having a hard time driving the internet.
Yeah, okay, so anyways, this is Summer Sanders, and she's talking about what would happen after swim meets with her and her family, and she said that no matter what the outcome, they always went for pizza. And so she knew, win or lose, they were going to go for pizza. And it was sort of, and they didn't talk about swimming necessarily. So, you know, she always knew that whatever happened, she had that hour or whatever it was afterwards where it was just going to be fun. And the family was together and they were talking about other things. And, you know, she talks a lot about how really helpful and supportive her parents were through her career. Okay. Another thing, emphasize fun and skill development. As we talked about, fun is paramount, and you know, we also talked about the reasons when fun occurs. It's when they're learning new skills, competing. They have a stimulating training environment, and they balance the positive and constructive feedback that they get from the coaches. But then fun goes away when they feel pressured, criticized, and maybe they stop learning new skills or it gets hard. So with as a parent, you really want to emphasize this idea of skill development and making that fun. Okay, here's the other balance thing. Be involved, but not too involved. I kind of alluded to that earlier. But certainly as a parent, if you haven't already, you can educate yourself about fencing, about tournaments, about what goes on. And you can look for televised events or for local competitions and share those things with your child. If you haven't done that already, I think as your kids get older, you've probably done quite a bit of that already. And then sometimes, if coaches ask, sometimes they need help with video. If they want you to do that, that's a great way that you can help. If they don't, of course, we don't want to get in the way. And then there's always help needed with running events, fundraising, the booster club, all those things that help the club go around. Parents can have a huge impact. And notice there's nothing about coaching in this. It's all about sort of helping the club. Publicity, getting involved in associations, that's a really good role for a parent. But on the flip side, that of course is being too concerned about the outcome of a tournament, talking to the coach too much about athletes' skill levels, how the coach is doing training. And if your child asks you not to attend competitions or practices, and I have seen this happen, that's always a really awkward, difficult situation, but if that's happening, there's some reason for it. So it's important to listen and try to figure out why. And then requiring a child to attend extra practices or do extra training, especially when they're resisting that. So I saw this really great sign. This is the Glendale Little League in, I believe it's Wisconsin. And I like this because, you know, it reminds us, these are kids, this is a game, coaches are volunteers, the umpires are human, and you are not being scouted by the Brewers today. So, you know, again, parents get carried away thinking that their kid is going to be the best ever and be seen by the scouts, and it's got to go a certain way, and it's just not why were there to do sports, and especially in the beginning. So as parents, here are some questions that are important to ask yourself. So one, can you share your child? Can you hand them over to the coaches and other adults that they'll be working with? And two, can you admit your shortcomings? So we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. You know, sometimes we're not the best at parenting, but can we admit that and apologize and try to make it better the next time around? Can you accept your child's disappointments? So in sports, there's always going to be disappointments. I don't care how good you are, there's always disappointments. And as a parent, that is sometimes the most difficult thing to deal with, is a child who hasn't done well and is disappointed and maybe is kind of shutting down and going real internal. So can you accept that and work with that? And can you accept their successes? Now that might seem to go without saying, but sometimes there's a lot of pressure that comes with success and maintaining success, and kids feel that pressure, and sometimes that gets directed, you know, they take it out on the people closest to them, which are the parents. And can you give your child some time? Which means, you know, if we're all busy and we're all in this achievement-oriented world, and can we be with our kids? Can we go to the games and really be there with them? Or are we on the phone and doing other things? Or, you know, can we even just sit with our kids for 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just talk to them? You know, can we give our kids some time? And can you allow your child to make his or her own decisions? That might mean about staying in a sport or leaving a sport. And sometimes it's harder for the parents to watch the kids leave than it is for the kids to leave. I remember for myself, when I there was a time when I wasn't sure I wanted to continue gymnastics, and I thought my mom was going to lose it. Well, let's not decide too hastily here, you know. And actually, I didn't really want to leave. I was struggling with some skills, and it wasn't happening easily, and I was fearful, and it just was getting harder and harder to want to go into practice every day. I had to make the decision to stick with it and push through that. But I knew that was going to be a hard conversation to have with her if I decided to quit. And can you say honestly that you were modeling and providing consistent and positive messages to your kids? So I get asked this question a lot. What do I say when there's a disappointing performance? How do I manage that? So I'll start with the things not to say, because sometimes it's a little bit easier. Don't tell them, hey, great job, you know, because they know it wasn't a great job. And don't say, it wasn't really that important anyhow, because it may well have been important to them. That's why they're disappointed. And they know when you're just trying to say this stuff to say it, you know, they know when it's not genuine. So probably a better approach is, first of all, knowing your child, because different kids need different things. Some of them want to talk about it. Some of them don't want to talk about it. So know your child and know what helps. Some things you can say, you know, something along the lines of, I know that you're disappointed and I'm really sorry you didn't reach your goals. It's tough when this happens, whatever, you know, something along those lines. And sometimes nothing, say nothing. Sometimes there is nothing you can say. There really isn't. When it's a high level performance that they've been working for years or months, and it doesn't go well, there's nothing anyone can say to make that better. And in fact, one of the most powerful things I've ever heard a coach say, and this was after an Olympic event where it was a team event, and the team lost and came in second, and it was really disappointing. Even though you think silver medal in the Olympics is good, the situation around this was really tough. I mean, they should have won and they didn't, so everybody's disappointing. And the coach said to them, pulled them together and said, okay, there's nothing that I'm going to say that's going to make you feel better right now. I know that. And that was sort of how she opened it and went on. And I thought, wow, you know, that's just honest. There's nothing you can say that's going to make it better. But, you know, after the nerves have settled and the emotions have settled, that's when maybe you can start to look at, okay, where do we go wrong here? How can we make this better next time around? And you won't always get it right. I sure didn't get it right with my kids all the time. Even as a psychologist, I'm supposed to know all these things, but no, I didn't get it right, you know, because I'm the parent. And so sometimes they get mad at you. You're the easiest one to get mad at. Nothing you can say is going to be right. And sometimes that's just how it is, and you have to be okay with that and let it go. But a genuine effort, that's the important part. Okay, so, and I have a couple of comments about looking for a good coach. And, you know, with coaching, that's interesting because just because someone was a great athlete doesn't mean they're going to be a great coach. And vice versa, some great coaches were never really great athletes. It's rare that they coach in a sport they never played, but I've seen that. I've seen Olympic coaches who didn't ever do the sport that they coach and have gotten people onto the medal stand. So, you know, it's just you don't know. And coaches, often they coach the way they were coached, which may or may not have been good. So there's no specific training. You don't have to get, I guess there's certifications and things you have to go through. But to start at the younger levels is not necessarily a certification you have to get to do that. And so coaches do the best they can. Not all their strategies are great. So as a parent, that's a really important role in looking for a good coach. So I had put together a list of things that good coaches should be able to do. And I started looking at this list thinking, I'm not sure that most people have all of these things, but you just want them to have most of these things. So, okay, here's my list. So, needs to know the sport of fencing, and needs to know a little bit about child and adolescent development. Because, you know, kids are not adults and they go through different things, and coaches need to have some understanding of that. They need to know that athletes have different personalities and learning styles. And so one athlete maybe needs to hear a lot of detail and specific stuff. And another athlete, they can only take in one piece of information at a time. So, or some of them, the verbal doesn't get across as much as more of a visual kind of learning. So you have to know their learning styles. You need to understand what motivates each child. And be sensitive to the sociocultural or racial background of the child as well. So this is my favorite part. They have to be a skilled teacher, a clever psychologist, and a sensible negotiator. And that's hard for most anybody to do, but we're asking coaches to do all these things all together. A few more things. We want them to think about more than just winning, and sometimes that's hard for a coach. They need to be skilled at teaching the fundamentals and teach athletes to enjoy successes and learn from disappointments. Some of the best things I've heard from coaches, you know, someone says, oh, I lost or I didn't do well. Well, I heard one of them say, that's how we learn. Okay, so that happens, that's how we learn. Let's learn from it. They emphasize improvement, competence, and striving for excellence, and they model good ethical and moral behaviors. So it's a tall order, you know, to ask coaches to do all these things. So we hope they at least do most of these things. So some warning signs of poor coaching, obvious ones, if they are physically, verbally, or sexually abusing athletes, and again, we've been hearing about that more in the news, so everyone's a little bit more attuned to it now, but it's been going on for years and not been addressed, and parents need to have a role in asking about it. You know, it's not something that we talk about easily, but we've got to be able to. We've got to ask those questions, especially if something's seeming a little bit off or funny, or your child seems real down or depressed or doesn't want to go to practice. You know, as a parent, you got to find out why that is. And it could just be that it's a rough time in life, but it could be something that's going on at practice, and it could be because of the coach. So we need to ask those tough questions. If the coaches criticize the athlete more personally rather than their behaviors, That's a problem. That leads to abusive kinds of situations. I have here, uses profanity, and now I know we all slip up and we all, you know, let one slip out once in a while, but if it's a constant thing, that's potentially a problem. If they argue a lot with the referees or tournament officials, if it's excessive and frequent, and again, all coaches are going to argue their point when they think it's really important, but if it happens all the time, if it's a pattern, that's something to look out for. If they allow any kind of cheating, or if they ignore the less skilled athletes and only focus on the ones that are more skilled, if they make winning the only goal, and if they make kids feel important only when they win. So, some things to look out for. So on this picture, this is one of our Olympic gymnasts, Danelle Leyva. He won 2 silver medals at the last Olympics. But things that you want to ask coaches. And these areas aren't, you don't have to ask coaches all these questions. Some of it you want to observe and be aware of. But certainly you can ask about their coaching philosophy. You know, how do they coach? They should be able to articulate that for you. What motivates them to coach? Why have they been doing this? Why did they get into it? What's their knowledge about the sport? Leadership, I think that is something that you're going to observe a little bit more, but how do they handle leading a group? How do they handle it when something goes wrong? Are they able to lead or set down limits? And do they have self-control? That would be another thing that you can observe a little bit more. Do they have an understanding of your child or of different kids and their personalities? How are they at communicating? I think it's important that coaches are able to communicate with parents what's going on. They don't have to say everything, but they should have some ability to communicate to you as parents about what to expect and what's going on. And are they consistent? You know, do they maybe punish one athlete for doing something and not another? Or, you know, how are they? Are they consistent? We want them to be consistent. And do they show respect for everyone, athlete all the way on up, parents, other coaches, referees, officials, and enthusiasm. I mean, I want them to be excited about what they're doing. You know, if they've been doing it for too long and they're not excited about it, I'm not sure I want my kid in that environment. So those are things to pay attention to. Okay, so now I have another video I want to try to show, and we'll see how that works. But this is one of Ashton Eaton, won the decathlon gold medal at the last Olympics, and this is his mom and he did a TED Talk on sport parenting. And it's long, but I just want to show you the last part if I can get it to work, which I cannot. Okay, so I'll tell you, I'll tell you the parts that I wanted you to know. So she gets up on stage first and recounts that she came from a divorced family, a very chaotic life as a child, and was not really, there's too much going on for anyone to really support her and encourage her in her endeavors. And then when Ashton was born, and she was a single parent to him, and she did her best to find what he was interested in. And he had an artistic side to him, and he had other interests besides sports, but she always encouraged him to pursue those interests and to do whatever he did to do it well. So for her, and from coming almost, you know, from this very difficult background, not being college educated, you know, he went to college on a scholarship and was the first one in the family to get a college degree. But in the end, they show him winning the gold medal and her in the stands, so excited. And then at the end, they talk about, she says, you know, people ask me, how do you raise an Olympian? And she said, well, you don't. You don't raise an Olympian. You give your child opportunities. You encourage them. You encourage them to pursue their goals. You support them in whichever one they choose. And you do the best you can as a parent. And I thought it was really powerful. I really wish you could see it because, you know, the way that they interact and the way they talk about sort of their story is, I think, unusual. And so it's a TED Talk. If you want to look it up, you can watch it. Roz and Ashton Eaton.